Let me affectionately welcome all of you for this seventh session of our Bhakti Essential series. So far, it has been a very rewarding journey for me, and from your overwhelmingly positive feedback, I can see that some of you are taking a lot out of here, the treasury house of Bhakti. For all of those who join us today for the first time, let me just give a brief introduction to what these series are all about. In the Bhakti Essential course, we are trying to spark your journey in Bhakti and also your general spiritual journey by giving you three things: the information of what is Bhakti, the background of the tradition of practitioners, and finally, we also wish to give you a direct experience in our exercises, meditations, and so on. And I can't wait to start with today's exercise. The last session was about developing spiritual relationships, or using that, let us call it, relationship space by putting and empowering it with spiritual content. Today we will go right to the heart of Bhakti, the spirit of selfless service, or seva as it is called. Now let us first of all start with what is the heart of Bhakti. I think you all will remember that Bhakti is about a divine relationship in which love appears and expands without any stoppage. It's an ever-increasing development of love which goes into areas like ecstasy, trance, or samadhi, etc. It's clearly not something from this world. Now, we all do know that it is not possible to develop genuine love and affection without establishing a relationship first. I've heard that especially in Japan, where there is a lot of pressure and stress for an individual to perform in the working world, people do not have any longer the time which it takes to develop a fulfilling relationship. Now, some agencies have taken advantage of this and made profit out of it by developing companies like Rent a Friend. You can actually call them, you can tell them your special needs and understanding of the friendship, and then they will pick someone in the agency and send him over. Now imagine such a friend will sit with you and he will declare things like, "I love you, you're really important for me." Can you take this serious? Does it really have the quality? It's not based on any developed relationship. In the same way, if you want to feel divine love, if you want to feel ecstasy, if you want to laugh without a material reason, then you need to develop a relationship. And the easiest and best way to develop a relationship is through service, selfless service. That activates something on the human level, and it also, the selfless service, activates something on the spiritual level. Thus, the Garuda Purana informs us that a true relationship in bhakti is not really possible without seva. Or expressing it positively, the Garuda Purana says the verbal root of the word of bhakti is bhaj. And bhaj means a willingness to please or render service so that an affectionate relationship can be kept. Therefore, the Garuda Purana says very strongly, thoughtful practitioners should endeavor with great care to engage in seva or selfless service to the Supreme, because it is only by such seva that bhakti is born. Imagine you have a friend and you visit him, and you are very thirsty and you asked for a glass of water. The friend says to you, "I'm not willing to render the service to you. You know where the kitchen is, get the water for yourself." Such a statement would almost make it impossible, if it's a serious statement, to form a relationship. Relationships are born, especially in bhakti, when there is the spirit of service, selfless service or seva. The bhakti teachers have said, it is not very difficult to reach perfection. Even if one does not do any spiritual practice at all, if one can just get one thing right, that I belong to the Supreme, I'm a part of the Supreme, and from that place renders seva or selfless service, at that time one is in the perfection. My spiritual master had a preferred translation for the word bhakti into English. He combined two concepts in this translation, devotion and selfless service. And he called it bhakti is devotional service. At the moment when one takes to seva genuinely, one at once surpasses the influence of material nature and reaches the transcendental platform, which in Sanskrit is called Brahma Bhuta. Why is this so? Why is seva able to lift a person on the transcendental platform of spiritual practice? It is because seva cuts the hard knot that binds us to material existence. It cuts the knot of the ego. Yes, there is a heart knot in the heart. It is compared, now it is composed of all the karma, all the material activities which we have done for our own selfish gratification. It comes from previous lives. It's so persistent, you could say. And it is based on my concept, my ahammamiti. I want this, and this is my right, my view, my way. So ego and the karma which comes from there, that means the activities which again bring reactions, they combine together and build the heart knot in the heart. When you do selfless service, you move away from the self-centered ego and its huge influence on your thinking, your values, your behavior, and you enter into the beautiful land of ego freedom. And at that time, and thus, seva cuts our entanglement in the ego and our karma. One teacher once said, seva removes the false ego from the throne of the heart. It pulls it down like a tyrannical emperor is sometimes pulled down by his citizens who don't agree with his ways any longer. And instead, it enthrones on the heart the supreme, and also a spiritual vision towards others. See, the word seva is often used in relationship of serving other fellow human beings. There are ashrams where you can go and do seva and do food distribution and so on. And that has a huge and tremendous value. But bhakti adds the spiritual dimension to the otherwise humanistic activity. You connect, first of all, as every bhakti activity does, with the self inside, and build a relationship to the Supreme. It's like bringing two life wires together. The essential self and the Supreme are brought together in bhakti. And at that time, divine energy flows. So you first serve the Supreme, his various blissful, wisdom-filled instructions, and then you extend that to all his parts, the countless living beings, wherever they are, in whatever form you meet them. When I was once in India, I stayed at the sacred mountain, not on top, but just by the side. One morning, I came out and I saw a saintly person, you know, white hair, the face very austere. And he was walking, and from time to time, he reached into a little bag and then he bent down and he put something into the path. I was very interested, what is this? And I went close and I saw he had a small bag with chini, sugar, and he put this bag into holes on the ground in which ants lived. He felt the ants are living beings. Let me do seva. and seva. I asked him, you know, I cannot speak so good Hindi, but you have your hands and you can ask with hands and feet. And I understood from his answers in Hindi that he was on the way to the Govardhan town where he wanted to buy some groceries, some vegetables. And he thought on the way, let me take care even of the little ants. This clearly expands the vision beyond the ego, beyond our what's in for me. It is selfless service. And bhakti lives on this concept. In the world of selfless service, there is no small service or small seva and no big service, no big seva. The tradition tells of a beautiful story when Ram built the bridge to Lanka. There were countless huge monkeys who came and carried big boulders to be used in the construction of the bridge. And amongst them, you know, there were stones and rocks flying into the ocean. They threw them there. Amongst them was a tiny little spider who came to the edge of the ocean and moved its little legs and moved forward and shook the legs so that the grains of sand, which were sticking to the legs, fell into the ocean as his, or maybe it was a lady spider, her contribution to the bridge of Rama. So Hanuman had a huge, huge, strong monkey, said, spider, move out of the way, I will step on you. And your contribution is not at all wanted. You're just a disturbance. We need to put these rocks so that the the bridge of Rama can be built very quickly. Lord Rama heard Hanuman. And he stopped him. He said, that spider is doing exactly the same thing as you do. It is doing seva, selfless service. The spider does according to his or her capacity by putting sand into the ocean, small grains of sand. And you do seva according to your huge capacity by taking rocks and throwing them in the ocean. But I do not care about big and small. I care about the spirit of selfless service or seva. It was a lesson for Hanuman. By moving one's selfish interests out of the center and instead putting the Supreme and His wish into the center of our heart, we enter into the amazing world of seva. And as I said, this world is a spiritual world. It is a world where all separatedness from the Supreme, but also separatedness from other living beings, is immediately removed. One exits the world of egotism. The ego And the collective egos, they build the center of this sad world. So I want to now go forward and ask the question, how do we engage in seva, selfless devotional service? The Bhakti scriptures tell us about a king called Nimi. He was very powerful, but he had been cursed at one stage of his life by his family priest to death due to a minor transgression. Now he was capable of avoiding this curse. He could have done counteractions like doing some ceremonial sacrifices, etc. But he took it as a blessing in disguise. He engaged in another sacrifice where 9 very famous saints, mystic saints, came and visited him, seeing his tremendous focus on spiritual life. And one of them spoke a text which is important for all of us as we want to do seva and engage in the heart of bhakti. He said, the saint said, listen, seva and bhakti means whatever one does with his body, with his mind, with his senses, with their intelligence, or purified consciousness, according to one's present nature, the way one is presently, one should offer that to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of you. Mark this little word, whatever one offers according to one's present nature. You don't have to be very highly placed in spiritual life. Whatever is your nature, that you can offer. It is natural. It is something which is as natural as it is for young girls to be attached to boys and for young boys to be attached to girls. It's something which happens spontaneously. It happened maybe to all of you who are watching this, a spontaneous attraction. So when you sit down and think about seva, what you could do for seva, then think of what is your nature, what would you like to do for the Supreme and for others. You may not be like that saint who wants to do seva for the ants. You may have different talents, you may have different skills, but whatever your skills are, according to how your body, your intelligence, your mind is at, you can offer that to the Supreme. You can do music as seva, music which arises consciousness. You can do, you can cook, you can do anything, and there will be an amazing effect. That is, you will come out of the bondage, the limitation which is imposed to you by your ego and your karma, and enter the world of freedom. I would like to now give you some idea what is the seva that you could offer to other living beings. It is simple things like activities that uplift them in their spiritual life, but it could also manifest in giving them food or clothes or shelter, in the spirit of seeing them as equals. Never think yourself to be the giver. Think yourself to be the instrument of doing something to the welfare of others. This means in seva, you want to overcome that feeling of being separated, being so very differently positioned. You are all living entities are eternally parts of the Supreme. And seva performed in that spirit immediately lifts you on that level of the Brahman, the spiritual energy, your spiritual essence, your spiritual deep connectedness with even a little ant who crawls on the pathway. If you perform such seva, your perspective will totally change, and you will serve the Lord or God by serving His unlimited creatures. And the more you do this, you will sleep at peace in the evening. There are no worries any longer, and you will have joy in your heart, because you understand the level of eternity. You understand we are all eternal beings, and you connect with that energy. When someone tries to cross the road and they are already very, very old and hesitant as the cars go so fast, see them as an eternal being and help them as they need to cross the road. Do something in that spirit of seva and you will see miracles unfold. I want to help you now. That sounds a little bit presumptuous, but I want to give you an idea, as good as I can, to really understand this mood of seva and then experience to be lifted on the spiritual level by this. It is the compassion meditation or the spirit of selfless service. First of all, to guide you into this, it is said that in giving we receive. When we take on an attitude of caring for others and doing something for their benefit, we really care for ourselves. On the contrary, what is the result of acting on the basis of the self-centered ego? Of thinking only for my benefit. There's only more isolation from everyone, more disconnectedness, and an inflated ego balloon that sits on your spirit. It's not very glorious. So in order to learn to overcome this separatist mentality, we need to do just the opposite. The selfless service mentality helps us in this. And to develop true compassion, as you develop this true compassion, your ego will dissolve like fog in the morning sun. Okay. Let's meditate. Sit straight, but comfortably. It helps to imagine that there's a string which pulls your head and then your spine erect. You may bring your shoulders up and roll them back to open your breathing volume. And when you are ready, close your eyes or gaze softly in front of you. Breathe in deeply. Breathe out deeply. When you exhale, breathe out all the air and extend the exhale a little bit more. That will help you to deepen the breath. Let's do this for about 3 to 4 breaths. Deep inhales. Deep and complete exhales. As thoughts, feelings, moods appear, notice. Then let them gently go, like passing clouds. Continue to breathe and go now towards your natural breath. If you wish, you can make a soft smile appear on your face as you relax both your body and your mind on each breath. On your next inhale, bring your awareness to your effulgent heart space. Direct all your attention to your heart space and be present there for a moment or so. There, in that heart space, you, as your eternal self, live there. Your nature is to be full of inner knowing and boundless joy. You are part of God and full of immeasurable love. Notice how that space opens. Notice how your moods and feelings get uplifted as you meditate about that eternal, essential reality. And notice also how your consciousness expands. connect now with the source of compassion in your heart and tell yourself, just like me, the people of this world are seeking happiness. Just like me, the people of this world are trying to avoid suffering. And just like me, the people have known sadness, loneliness, and despair. Just like me, other people are trying to fulfill their needs. And just like me, others are also learning in life. Now from your heart, offer prayers of well wishes to all others. May all be happy. May everyone be free from disease. May everyone everywhere be able to see the good. May there be no distress for anyone. If you wish, you may now send your own personal prayers or good wishes to either people who are close to you or to people of this world. To end this meditation and come back to your normal awareness, please rub your hands together as you do in palming. For a moment, cover your eyes and then gently bring the hands away. Look into the lines there, as if you're seeing them for the first time. There's a Sanskrit prayer by a prince, a young saint, Prahlad, who had been cruelly persecuted by a very, very tyrannical emperor, who even happened to be his own father. But he remained, admiringly so, totally undisturbed, even in the face of being physically and verbally attacked like anything. There was assaults, assassination attempts on his life. And this is what he said: may there be auspiciousness for the entire universe. May the hurtful be pacified, not angry. May all beings find intelligent ways to cooperate. May the mind become free from selfishness and become absorbed in the Supreme. Yes, when we engage in the spirit of selfless service, which grows out of a feeling of equality and compassion towards others, we come to a place where we go to bed without worries, sleep without interruptions, and move without any feeling of separation in the world towards others, because the bond, the hard knot of material existence, has been cut by the powerful sword of selfless service or seva. That's really wonderful. Anyone who has done this can report of almost a lift that brings him to an entirely different level. I guess that's the blessing of all bhakti practices. Towards the end, I would like to inspire you to think of your own seva, what you could do to uplift others, what you could do to first see others with an equal eye. Maybe it will help you to walk in their shoes in your mind. Understand what they are going through, and that was the idea of this meditation. And then you can offer a seva. But please remember, for seva to become spiritually uplifting, for seva to absolutely widen your consciousness, you need to do it in the spirit of bhakti, where you make a connection with the Supreme. You can make almost like a triangle. Here you are, there's the Supreme, and then there is the objects of service, what you do, and in this way feel bhakti rise in your heart. Thank you so much. I would like to end this with a few short announcements. First of all, we will post the recording of the guided meditation, which we did this evening, tomorrow morning, Wednesday, on my Facebook page. In this way, you may practice it if you like. One word about these guided meditations. You can just get the idea of them and then do them without guidance in your free time, or whenever you feel there's a need, and you can thus spiritualize your day. Another thing we need to know, we will also post the tips and exercises which you could daily do to go deeper into seva tomorrow morning on my Facebook page. You will find them there. And the last announcement really is that we come now to our last session of Bhakti Essentials, part 8. That will happen on August the 18th, I have here, but I see that is maybe wrong. Is that the 25th of August? At 8 p.m. Central European time. It's the next Tuesday, and I would really love if all of us come together for this last session on Bhakti Essentials, and I will also announce what is coming after some time in the next programs or seminars, because we really have something that will surprise and induce you all. It is a path, the Vedic path, which includes all aspects of our human being, body, mind, soul, and also the vast ocean of people around us. It's quite something, but I cannot now say about this because it's meant to be a surprise for our last session. So please let us all join together next Tuesday, again at the same place, that Facebook place and other social media places, Instagram and so on the 25th of August at 8 p.m. Central European Time. I thank you very, very much. I wish you a lot of wonderful experiences when you practice your seva. And what to say, although I can't see you, I can see three cameras here before me, but I can feel you. All the best for you, and Haribol.